The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Ed Morse is going to save you, as they always do. Want $5,000 more for your trade? Then get to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa during the Instacash trade event. Yes, they're giving you up to $5,000 more for your trade. If your trade's worth 10 grand, they'll give you up to 15,000. Click EdMorseCadillacTampa.com for all the offer details. And of course, you can visit Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa just west of 275 on Fletcher, and at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Wow, what a beautiful dealership that is right there. The 2019 XT4 has arrived and it's ready for delivery, backed by Morse at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon on Causeway Boulevard. Their price protection promise can't be beat. Get to EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. And they also have an Instacash trade event. All the details at EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. I know Ira has really been loving the $17,000 off MSRP on select 2018 models. Incredible offers. Check them out, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com. And, of course, Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Both dealerships have been supporting all of Ira's work for, gosh, a lot of years now, and we are very pleased for their support of JoeBucksFan.com. Thank you so much to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. I am Steve Isbitz. I am not on the podcast today. Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, is with Lee DeCamper. We are popping this right away because things are changing so fast. So enjoy the podcast. It's Monday. We'll have more this week. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon presents Ira Kaufman, and here he is.
Welcome to the Ira Kaufman Podcast, heard only on JoeBucksFan.com, along with various other platforms, including iTunes, Podbean, and whatever else you can find. Google Play, that's another one. But
I'm already stunned. You pronounced my name the right way over there, DeCamper. Nobody does that in this
town. This is supposed to be semi-professional.
I understand.
It looks like we're on the eve of a coaching announcement. Everybody and their brother is saying Bruce Arians. Obviously, we had this last week. Steve ran it on Friday. Very good source. Not with the Bucks. I want to emphasize that. No one with the Bucks has tipped us off. Now we have Dan Bickley in Phoenix. And I've known Dan Bickley since he worked at the Sun-Times in Chicago. 1990, I first met Bickley.
He covered Arians extensively.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Because he's been a fixture in Phoenix for like two decades. He went from the Sun-Times... So I want to say the Arizona Republic. I knew him when he worked for the Sun-Times. So obviously he's a legitimate guy. Here we are. Ira, your thoughts on Bruce Arians coming out of retirement, taking over the Bucks?
Very exciting time for Buck fans, Lee. Now, obviously, once they make an official announcement and we all gather at one Buck place, we'll be doing another podcast because we don't dilly-dally around here on Joe Bucks Fan. We bring it to you straight, and we bring it to you fast.
Emergency Brad podcast.
Emergency podcast. So when news breaks, we gather, and we're from all corners of the world, from Panama. That's right, Panama. And we show up. This makes just too much sense, Lee. Other than him pulling a Parcells and pulling out on a Friday night, now it would be pulling out on a Monday night. This looks like a done deal. Why is it a done deal? Well, he's the right guy at the right time. It's all about saving Jameis Winston. And proven one way or another way that Winston belongs here as a franchise quarterback. If he has a full year with Bruce Arians and whoever Arians brings in, and he's not going to bring in some stumble bums, he's going to assemble a very good staff. And the Glazers will be watching closely. Almost as much, I know this sounds crazy, almost as much as the record of the 2019 Bucks.
Yeah, it's an investment.
Ranking almost right there in importance to the record is the development of Jameis Winston. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Chris Richard, Eric Bieniemy, they don't bring the gravitas, how do you like that? There's your word, of Bruce Arians in terms of developing quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. He's worked with some of the best in the league. He just wrote a book. It's out in paperback. How do you like that, Bruce? I'm giving you a plug in paperback.
I'll do more than that this summer if he's hired.
And it's called The Quarterback Whisperer, How to Build an Elite Quarterback. The Glazers are familiar with that book, or at least the title of it. He's got a big resume, Arians. You know, he took over a really bad Arizona team in 2013. They were 5-11. Where have we heard 5-11 before? Oh yeah, Bucks the last 2 years. He immediately went 10-6. His first 3 years, he was 34-14. He's won two Coach of the Years, and I believe he finished second another time. Now, it didn't end great in Arizona, but I'll tell you what, look what happened once he left. They absolutely fell apart. They were the worst team in football this year. the worst team. Now, they had a young quarterback, and I understand that. But he got more out of Carson Palmer than anybody ever got out of Carson Palmer before. He could have been named the MVP of the league in 2015, Palmer. He was that good.
Wow.
So anyway, here comes Arians. Now, he interviewed for the job, Lee. You don't interview, 66-year-old man does not interview for the job, either have light come out to him or come into Tampa himself. It's not bad to hang out in the Grand Hyatt over there on the causeway and not to, you know, using the hot tub over there. If you go there right now, you might find Arians and his family.
Well, that's a Russo hot tub.
Yeah, that's a Russo joint. Anyway, Lee, a 66-year-old man who announced his retirement last year, is not going to interview for a head coaching job if he's not really interested in it. That's not going to happen. So now the question is, why wouldn't the Bucks hire him? At this point, Buck fans are excited. Maybe that was the point of this whole thing, is that the rumors were going to come out. They've intensified. And at this point, it seems like a done deal. Now, we thought that about Parcells. It didn't happen. But that's, of course, Parcells changed his mind. He's going through stuff with his wife, with a divorce and things. He ended up getting divorced. Anyway, Lee, for everybody that's listening to this, it looks like it's going to come true. And I'm sure all our readers and podcast listeners are not going to forget who's been on Bruce Arians before anybody, and that's Joe Bucks fan. And you watch everybody try to jump on the Arians bandwagon if it happens. Oh, we had Arians as the favorite all along. No. That's not going to cut out.
It's already happening on Twitter.
Buck fans know better. Buck fans know better.
Educated Bucks fans know better. Informed Bucks fans know better. I will say this. You know, obviously, I'm not in negotiations. Just on the surface, the only hang-up I could see is, I would imagine the Glazers want a succession plan. Here's a guy that's not in great health.
Excellent point.
He's 67. You figure 3 years max.
I was thinking two.
Okay. I would imagine they would want Arians to handpick a successor, preferably, knowing the Glazers, preferably an offensive coordinator. You name it. Who was a good one that used to work with
him?
Yes. That was at one time thought to be the next up-and-coming guy.
So we're not talking about Todd Bowles, who could come in as D coordinator, but he's not going to be part of the succession plan.
I would be shocked that the Glazers want him to right. succeed Arians as coach.
Probably the key is who's going to be the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe they bring in, I'm just throwing a name out here, although you've thrown this
Zach
name out
Taylor.
There. Sure. Bring him in as a right now he's a quarterback coach, so offensive coordinator.
Give him a promotion.
Make him offensive coordinator, and he would be your successor, provided things work out. But I think that if there is a sticking point, that would be it. Again, I'm just looking at it from a mile away. I'm not in the boardroom. I'm not in
the The Glazers have every right to know what kind of staff Arians would put together.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a big part of this hiring process. And you would think with his years in the league, he could put together a pretty good staff.
You would think so.
And he's got Buckner staying, which is not a bad thing from the Arizona perspective, years.
And for all we know, Dovner might stay, for all we know, as a linebackers coach. And who knows, maybe the Glazers say, hey, what do you think about Todd Monken sticking around as offense coordinator, provided he doesn't get a head coaching job? Hey, why don't you, if Monken sticks around, we'll groom Monken to be the head coach.
Now he's going to have some interviews, Monken. Good for him.
Yes.
Good for him. It always helps to, even if you don't get the job, it helps you
experience
down the line. But if he doesn't get any of the jobs, and I'm not sure Munkin's ready right now at this moment for head coach, but I think he's got head coach potential. That's a heck of a scenario. Let Munkin make the rounds, see what happens, and then if he doesn't get hired, you name him offensive coordinator. You groom him for 2 years. The Glazers like Munkin. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens.
Well, what I think is interesting, and I hope for Munkin's sake he gets it. I don't know if he will, but he's interviewing for the Packers job. I can only imagine him and Aaron Rodgers. Now, the reason why I bring up Munkin is very aggressive. Very aggressive. Well, guess who else is aggressive? Arians. And from what I've read, from what I've heard, Arians kind of wants to get away from play calling because apparently that was part of his health problems because he was so stressed out. Well, Munkin keeps the play calling duties, and we know he's done it. We know he's done it well. Now, I can only imagine what this offense will be because I don't think Cutter was as aggressive as Munkin. Matter of fact, Cutter's all but said that he had to dial back a little bit, wanted to run the ball more. Well, Arians was just the opposite. Like, throw it, and throw it some more. So
now he had David Johnson, who had some big years in Arizona.
Yes.
So he had a balanced attack.
Well, yeah.
But he likes to throw it downfield.
Oh, sure. So, and that's another thing. We'll find out real quick if Ronald Jones has talent or if he's a bust. We'll find out real quick. And I'm sure this is part of the negotiations that Arians wants a definitive answer from Light and the Glazers. Will you go out and get a running back? If it's got to be free agency, it's got to be free agency. If it's a draft, it's a draft. But the Bucs have no running attack, and we don't know, standing here today on Monday, early January, we don't know if Ronald Jones is ever going to be anything.
Don't forget that you can make the point that Arians never had this array of targets to throw to in Arizona.
Larry Fitzgerald.
That's one.
Yeah.
I said an array.
Well, he had some, I can't think of the names. He had some, Brown, was it? Was
he
pretty
had Brown,
good.
But he didn't have O.J. Howard. He's an emerging star.
No, that's
star.
True. That's,
you would think they'll bring Humphreys back with Arians. He likes that slot guy. And, of course, Mike Evans, who is probably on a par with Fitzgerald when Arians was in Arizona. He's on a par with Fitzgerald.
Different kind of receiver, though.
Different kind of receiver.
Because Evans isn't really he doesn't stretch the field that well, whereas Fitz did. I mean, Fitz is a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer, no question about it.
Yeah, this is giddy to think if Arians comes in. And so what do you think, Ira? You think, Aaron's saying, hey, I want a running back. I want you. What do you think the hang-ups may be?
I think there's two hang-ups. Can he get clearance from his family to get back into this thing? The grind. Now, you make the point, maybe he gives up the play calling. Hey, if Dirk Cutter can give up the play calling, he can give up the play calling. Cutter didn't want to do it, but he did it. And it worked out fine for the Bucs. That's one hang up. And the second one is the staff. Because I hate to put it this bluntly, Dirk Cutter's staff didn't do him any favors.
Oh, didn't outside of favors. Muffin and maybe.
It's your famous Duffer. Line, the develop a DB once in a while.
Once in a while. And we'll get to that in a little bit, the bombshells that Brent Grimes let out. You know, with Arians, you brought up, will his family be okay with it? I would have to think he wouldn't go through this if he didn't get a green light from his wife.
I think
and
so.
Just so, in case people don't know, I know it's on Amazon, but I think it might be on YouTube as well. When Hard Knocks went down to Arizona, I can't remember the name of it, but it's basically Hard Knocks for a full season. And I watched it a couple of years ago. That's how I was familiar with Princeton Buckner. And in that special, and I think it was, they also did a, I can't think of the name, America's Game, but it basically it's like This Is Your Football Life,
right,
that NFL Films produces for NFL Networks there on Friday nights. And so basically Arian's wife, she didn't want him to get the Indianapolis job. She didn't, when Pagano first took over Indianapolis and called up Arians to be offensive coordinator, she didn't want him to go to Indianapolis. She wanted him to retire. That was what, 8 years ago, 10 years ago?
Now, let's not minimize Arians' health issues. They've been serious.
Yes.
They've been serious. But he's overcome it.
And there was a couple times while in season he was hospitalized with stomach issues from the stress.
Again, he's probably not going to be long-term. And I think he understands that. That's why it's critical to have that succession plan. I think this stuff's been all worked out. I think it's all been worked out. We're going to have a big announcement. The room is not going to be big enough for the number of Glazers that are going to show up in that room. They'll come from all over the world.
England, California.
Cousins, nephews, nieces. Everybody's going to be smiling. You wonder how many Buck players would show up in the auditorium if they do something in the auditorium. And then I want the Glazers to stand on that stage and answer some questions rather than exit stage left, which is their usual habit.
If I remember right, when he announced Cutter, man, he got off that stage quick.
This year, I think it might have been in October, Arians did a Bucs game, a home game. I can't remember which
one. You talked
to
him.
And I talked to him. He was chowing down. I think he was doing it with maybe Trent Green or something.
What was he eating?
So that, yeah, he was eating. I interrupted him right in the middle. He was stuffing his face with a little pasta over there. And he looks up. He probably remembered me from the NFL meetings, pestering him about Jason Light 2-3 years ago. He goes, what's up? I said, hey, I like to gather up stuff about the Hall of Fame. So I asked him about Rondé Barber. I wasn't even that fully aware that he's got some unbelievable relationship with Rondé Barber.
Didn't he play with his dad? His dad was his roommate in college?
Something with his dad. And he said he bounced Rondé Barber on his knee.
When
Barber... Now, the problem was Barber was 22 at the time. No, I'm kidding. So, he knows Rondé from when Rondé was a child. Rondé's got a little bit of influence at one buck. Why wouldn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Football intelligence is off the charts. Mm-hmm. I often used to say he was the smartest player in football.
Wow.
With all due respect to Peyton Manning, I used to say that because I didn't think he was overly physically gifted. He was a good athlete, but not great by NFL standards. But nobody studied film better than Rondé Barber. Nobody. Nobody broke film down. And I always used to tell the young guys, hang out with Rondé Barber. Aqib Talib, guys like that. Hang out with Rondé Barber. See how he prepares. So, you know, and Rondé's around One Buck a lot. We've seen him a lot.
Yeah, he's part of Jason Light's kitchen cabinet.
So that doesn't hurt Arians either. No. It doesn't hurt him. Because he's got that relationship with Arians.
What, you think Arians might want him to work for the Bucs?
I don't think Rondé will do it. I don't think Rondé wants to be out there 5 days, 6 days a week. I think Rondé's got a good job. But he likes to keep an eye on the Bucs and keep an ear to the ground. And I think he's got a little influence with the Glazers as opposed to Tony Dungy, who rumors are is pushing Jim Caldwell. I think that's true. I think Dungy is pushing Jim Caldwell. They go have a strong connection from Indy. And Caldwell was a pretty good coach at Indy. Had some big years. Then he went to Detroit. Didn't do badly.
Won 11 games his first year.
So Dungy is pushing Caldwell. But to say that Dungy's got much influence on the Glazer family, I think that's pushing it.
I'm going to use one of your favorite words. He doesn't have clout.
Ooh, clout. Nice. I used gravitas today. You came back with clout.
Well, clout, so you use that quite often on Russo's show. You like
and
that
juice.
Word.
And juice. Yeah, Isbitz loves juice. By the way, Isbitz isn't with us today, Lee. He'll be joining us later in the week.
Sure. Here's one for you. You brought Peyton Manning. And there's two elements here about Peyton Manning. And it's pretty well known Peyton Manning wants to get back involved with the NFL in some way. He just hasn't figured out how. You think there's any shot that Arians said, tells the Glazers? No. For the people that are just absolutely dead set, you got to have a president of football operations. Do you think Arians...
You said that's a paper title. You don't like paper titles over there, right?
No, it's a paper towel. Oddly enough, over the weekend, I was listening to Michael Lombardi's podcast on The Ringer, and he went off on that title. He was like, this is another layer. You can't have layers. And what have I been saying? What Whitey Herzog told me. What John Madden told me. Now Michael Lombardi, who worked with Walsh, worked with Al Davis, worked with Belichick, he said the worst thing you can do is add another layer. So, you know, I think my sources were good enough to begin with.
I think it's unlikely. I don't think it's
about
impossible.
Peyton Manning coming in.
I don't think it's likely. Manning might want to be part of the Colts organization, perhaps, or even Denver.
But wouldn't he be already? If he wanted to be a part of the Colts organization, wouldn't he be already?
Yeah, I think so. He's doing enough stuff, hawking products, and he's making more money now in endorsements than he probably did with a salary.
It wouldn't shock me.
Wow.
But you know what? And I forget the general manager's name off the top of my head, Indianapolis.
Chris Ballard?
Yeah, Chris. They don't need to monkey with anything. The way that guy's pulling the strings, they don't need to monkey with anything.
Boy, he hit a home run with the 2018 draft. Tremendous.
Yeah, and
he
coach.
Two rookies made the All-Pro team.
Yeah.
Very, very difficult.
And the coach.
And the coach.
Here's my other element about Manning. For people who may not be familiar with Bruce Arians' background, worked with Peyton Manning as a rookie. Worked with Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger's third year in the NFL. Worked with Andrew Luck as a rookie. Then he took over old veteran Carson Palmer in Arizona. Turned his career around.
That's high cut.
So, three guys that are probably going to go to Hall of Fame. I don't think it's crazy to suggest that Luck is a Hall of Fame level quarterback. So you got three guys that are going to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't know about Carson Palmer. I don't think so. But he turned his career around. As you said, you would have voted for him, or did you vote for him MVP?
He was a strong candidate.
And now he's going to be taking over James. Like you said, that's high cotton resume.
And he's got a relationship with Winston.
Yeah, it goes back to high school. James
got a relationship with Winston.
Yeah.
Been a big advocate for Jameis Winston. What's that going to do for Winston's confidence to know he's got somebody in his corner like that? It's all on the line for Jameis Winston. It's all there ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying he's got to go 13-3. I'm not saying he's got to have a Pat Mahomes year. He's got to take the next step.
Please. Yes.
Right now, he's a tease. He's a classic NFL tease.
Good. Yeah.
And
he'll have a great game against
enough.
Atlanta.
That's not good enough to get the kind of contract he's looking for.
Well, any kind of contract. Any kind of contract with the Bucs, an extension.
And I'll throw out one more thing. As big a Winston fan as Bruce Arians is, at the end of the 2019 season, he's going to sit down with the Glazers, and he's going to give his honest opinion. And even though right now he's got a connection with Jameis Winston, if he don't think Winston's the guy going forward after working with him every freaking day, starting in training camp, watching his work habits, his film habits, if he doesn't think Winston's going to be the guy, that's what he's going to tell the Glazers.
Oh, yeah.
His friendship with Winston won't mean a darn thing at that time.
Arians is a straight shooter. Now, here's one, something that came about this morning. Peter King is weekly Monday morning quarterback. It's not Monday morning quarterback anymore. It's football morning in America.
Well, remember my line to Chris Russo. I ain't Peter King.
Yeah, can't push you around.
You love that.
I love it. Peter King suggested that Jameis has regressed under Cutter. What's your take on that?
I think you could make that argument. You could make the argument he was better as a rookie in 2015 when he took every snap. You could. That's one of the reasons Dirk Cutter got his walking papers, because he didn't develop Winston, which was job one for Dirk Cutter, and the reason one why Dirk Cutter got the job.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. How could it happen? You benched the guy.
That stunt, and it was a stunt, I'm sorry. Was a white flag for Cutter's career here. I don't know if I would... I know where Peter King's coming from. I don't know if regression is the right word.
Stagnation.
Certainly stagnation. But I will agree that he was better as a rookie and maybe his second year as well. But I don't know if regression is the right word. The reason why I say that is I think it has more to do with his seasons were interrupted. Last year, his season was interrupted with injuries. This year was the Uber nonsense.
That's his fault.
It's not his fault that he got hurt. It's his fault with Uber nonsense. He brought it on himself, period, in a sense. That's his fault. But the last 2 years have not been smooth because they've been interrupted. And I think that has more to do with it than so much regression. It's just interruption.
So as we speak now, there's no reason to think 2019 will be interrupted. As we speak.
Yeah, I mean, we can't predict injuries. And unfortunately, and I love James.
And we can't predict suspensions.
Yeah, we can't predict suspensions.
And the next suspension could be the death penalty.
Could be doomed. There'll be a death penalty for him at Tampa Bay. Another suspension, I can't imagine the Blazers are keeping him.
His NFL career would be in jeopardy at that point. Big jeopardy.
Well, he'd get another job, but not as a starter. He'd get a backup job somewhere.
Depends how much Goodell wants to punish him. Depends. Second time around.
I mean...
We'll see. I mean, we're talking about something that hasn't happened.
Yeah, but he's... Borderline axe murderers he's let back in the league. I can't imagine, he wouldn't let Jameis back in the league.
You mentioned something about Brent Grimes. Is there a guy named Brent Grimes, a former Buck cornerback? And I use the word former.
Yeah, I kind of think his days with the Bucks are done. But yeah, he came out on his wife Miko's podcast and had some very revealing things to say, some of which backed up what I've been saying for over a year, and Bucks fans and our readers on JoeBucksFan.com have gone nuts every time I wrote it.
And Grimes has always played it close to the vest, as opposed to his loquacious wife. For him to talk the way he did, it tells me one thing. He's going to retire. I think he's going to retire.
Well, certainly he's done with the Bucs. No question about that. But anyway, one of the...
What are some of the things he said?
The big flare-up here was that Grimes said he was asked his first game against Steelers this year. He was coming back from a groin injury. He missed the first two games. And on the first game back against the Steelers, he was asked by Bucks coaches, I presume Mike Smith was one of them, that he should shadow Antonio Brown, the number one wide receiver, if not the NFL, certainly with the Steelers.
Something that elite cornerbacks in this league are asked to do.
Yeah, and I'm sure if they asked any cornerback to do that, just your competitive juices.
Challenge.
Yeah, it's like, damn right I'll do it. And Grimes balked because he said, I'm not paid enough. Your thoughts?
Total disappointment in Brent Grimes. Also, why would they say that on a podcast? That doesn't make... That's not going to boost Brent Grimes' stock if he's thinking about hitting free agency next year.
Not too intelligent.
That doesn't make much sense. I'm disappointed. It goes back to the game in Atlanta in 2017. We spent a whole podcast saying, Julio Jones is killing you. Can you get Ryan Smith and tell him to switch places and tell Grimes to... Now, what was the answer from Mike Smith when we
asked him?
He said, we didn't know where Julio Jones was. That's the point.
Which is ridiculous.
That's the point. Yeah. Wherever he lines up, you tell Grimes to follow him to the men's room.
Yeah, it was an absolutely ridiculous.
So I think that resonated with the Glazers. I do.
Should have.
It went all the way up to ownership. And here comes Antonio Brown, who's certainly on a par with Julio Jones, if not even better. Kind of recognized going into last season as the premier wide receiver, I think, in football. I think justifiably. You're asking your best cornerback, by far, not even close, to take on the challenge. Nobody says you got to hold him to one catch. Keep him under control. He had 250 yards in Atlanta. Oh, that can't happen.
Yeah. Well, didn't Mike Smith put Grimes on Odell Beckham? I didn't
realize.
He covered him a lot.
Yeah.
And he shut him down.
Yeah. You're not going to do any worse than Ryan Smith did that day. Oh. And to think that Grimes balked because of salary considerations? First of all, if that's true...
Who signed the contract?
If that's true, I'm not sure I'm playing Brent Grimes anymore at that point. I mean, now you're letting your teammates down. If Mike Smith thought that was the key to victory, and you don't do it because of your salary, you're not being a team player.
The only way...
You're letting everybody down.
The only way I could side with Brent, even think about siding with Brent, with that remark, would be in the contract negotiations, the Bucks told him, don't worry, we're not going to put you on the number one receiver all the time.
I'm not writing that into any contract if I'm the boss.
Thank you. And I go back to my first question. Who signed the contract? If Brent didn't like that contract, you shouldn't have signed it. Simple as that.
You're an employee. You're asked to do a job. Do it.
Well, Brady Quinn, who works for CBS, the former NFL quarterback, he had something very interesting to say. He hinted Grimes was scared of Brown for a couple reasons. One, he's just coming back from a groin injury. This is his first game of the year. Probably his groin was not 100%. Quinn said Brent probably knew Brown was going to torch him a couple times. As a result, Brady Quinn thought Grimes didn't want to cover Brown because if Brown burned him, if Brent Grimes wanted to play football another year, whatever team he signed with would use that as leverage in a contract negotiation. Like, you're almost done, Brent. Antonio Brown burnt you, ran rings around you.
Well, I understand that, but if you're adding up all the cornerbacks that Antonio Brown burned, you'd be able to field half the NFL roster. No shame in Antonio Brown getting six catches for 130 yards. I mean, nobody's going to go crazy. If that's true, I'd be disappointed that Grimes didn't have a little more confidence in himself. Now look, how many times did Dirk Cutter say, if a guy's cleared to play, he's cleared to play?
Yeah.
He wasn't ready the first 2 weeks. They thought he made progress. If his groin was bothering him, they would have taken him out during the game. So it's just a mess, Lee. It goes to what's going on in the Buck locker room. It goes to what was going on with that coaching staff. None of it's good.
No.
None of it is good. And it seems to me, if Grimes is going to air this dirty laundry and his wife, it sounds like they made the decision to wrap it up.
Yeah, Miko's not
and
done.
You know what? Having said all this, when you look back, he had a distinguished career in the National Football
League. Yeah.
Nobody can argue with
really
that.
Good career.
And by the way, he played well in the finale.
Played very well.
He played well in the finale.
You know, and oh, by the way, he probably didn't want to go out looking like a bum. But what we heard about DeSean Jackson in the locker room, what we know about the Bucs defense coaches coming from Grimes, and mind you, this is what we know. I've always been of the mind that what we hear from players is just a snippet of what's going
on. That's right.
It sounds like that was a complete mess. The coaching, these guys walked all over the coaches, in part because they didn't respect them, in part because they were terrible coaches. I'm not saying Cutter was a terrible coach, but there's no question DeSean Jackson walked all over him. And if Dirk hears this, and if it gets the word to Dirk, you have an open forum, Dirk, could prove us wrong that you weren't being walked all over. It sure sounded like it. Now, apparently, he did put his foot down to DeSean Jackson too late, way too late.
Well, Lee, who's watching this this sordid tale play out?
Glazers.
Jason Light and the Glazers.
Yeah.
Now, Cutter makes the personnel decisions. Light gets the players, and Cutter gets to decide how to use them and who plays. That's just the way it is. It was Cutter's decision to bench Jameis Winston, and it was Cutter's decision when to put Winston back. I thought he put him back a week too late. Okay, you're right. What about the stuff we don't know
exactly
that was going on in this locker room and in this coaching staff? So that could be those could be contributing factors why Dirk Cutter was replaced.
Well, I know that. Now I'll just go ahead and say this. Steve and I are sitting on something. I've put this in the comments on Joe Buck's Sunday before. We're sitting on something that'll blow people's minds. But I'm not about to go out and write a story that's going to unfairly paint a player in a negative light. When I mean by negative light, this could really embarrass a player. This could be a scarlet letter on a player if I write what Steve and I have, and we had it verified with two people with the Bucks, a player and a suit.
Good.
Have confirmed this.
Good. Give it to me and I'll write it.
There you go. It would make a Bucks player. It would really put a scarlet letter on a guy unfairly, and I'm not going to do that. But if Steve and I ever write this, and someday we probably will, it will blow people's minds. It will make Brent Grimes look like nothing. It will make DeSean Jackson look like nothing. And it will, I mean, Bucks fans will be slamming their heads up against the wall, wondering how the hell did Mike Smith keep a job.
Boy, that's a big carrot you're holding over Buck Nation over there, Lee. One day, you'll reveal it.
Yeah.
And speaking of reveal, I think we're looking at a big reveal later this week, and I think it's going to happen on Tuesday. And if it does, whenever it does, we're going to be there in force, One Buck Place, asking our questions, and then immediately doing an emergency podcast to keep our listeners, and what did I write the other day? Ahead of the curve, Mr. DeKemper. That's what we do.
Well, Ira, I want to thank you for your time. I want to thank our listeners for hanging in there, putting up with my stuttering. I apologize that Steve Isbitz is not here. That's the other Joe.
Well, he'll be front and center at One Buck Place.
But this is an exciting week from Buck Channel. Don't let anybody wag your finger at you saying you shouldn't be excited. You should be geeked. Because you're not excited, why the hell would you follow the Bucks? So enjoy this week. There should be some major news. And hopefully this is just a first step of bigger things to come, which hopefully, Ira, includes someday a meaningful game in January.
We can dream, can't we? Get out of here.